singing all the way around. That's just, I don't care where you're from, that's good singing. And all that right there. Are you comfortable, Brother Eddie? Comfortable? Yeah. You and I be praying, preaching, singing, hunting, fishing. Are you one of these guys, if you shoot something and it's not exactly right, you feel the need to call the game warden and turn it in? Is that the kind of person you are? 5 points. Yeah. I wasn't asking you for a confession. I just didn't want you. I just wanted to know if I needed to keep a secret from you. All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to be looking in the book of Jeremiah real quickly. And so we'll get this thing here, maybe here, going pretty quick. Jeremiah, chapter number 5. If you find the place you're able to stand, look in verse number 31. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 31. Now, they no doubt that the world's a mess, dying and going to hell in, by the droves. I'm not glad for that. And let me tell you right now is that 90-something percent of them be at the head of it will be Baptists. And let me say to you, when you look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and realize in chapter number 5, book of Jeremiah, verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it. We praise you, thou art God, beside thee there is none else, that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Bless, I pray now, this service tonight. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. May such trembling conviction come upon the sinner to where they find themselves at an old-fashioned altar, begging forgiveness with God. Bless, I pray thee now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on a subject, a sermon entitled Something One Can Live With. That's where Israel got in the day and hour that they were living in. They was not looking for the word of the Lord. It was just too straight for them. Let me tell you, in the day and hour that we're living in, do you know where there's a rather large Baptist church? I grant you they're not preaching all the counsel of God, because you can't build a church like that in the day we live in. Now, God can build one, and it'll be quality, whatever that he puts together. But you're not going to have a gigantic overflow of people, depending. And, I mean, there's some more, some less, this and that, up and down the road of life. But you wait and see yourself. Look at your kinfolks. You got saved, all excited, started trying to reach them. Oh, we want you to come to church. We've at least got a preacher that can preach loud enough to keep you wide awake, and no doubt about it. And boy, they came a time or two, and then that was it. And then they got to where that they blamed you and hated you for even inviting them. I'm going to tell you something, make no mistake about it, the greatest preacher that's ever been or ever shall be was preaching to 5,000 one day. And they all forsook him and fled, except for 12, and he said one of them's a devil. Now, I wonder why that was the reason it was being like that. He didn't preach a whole sermon. I'm talking about a whole series. He just preached that one time, a little sermon of a thing. Boy, they were greatly offended, and they turned and left him. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will ye also go away?" And they said, "Where shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that what happened to Israel, look in the chapter there in the very first few verses. He said, "I want you to run to and fro, and I want you to just go out there in the streets of Jerusalem, see if you can find anybody that's looking for the truth." That's simple, isn't it? Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said, "I want you to run to and fro and find out and see if you can find anybody that knows the truth, that seeketh after the truth." Look in verse 2. And he says, "And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely." Oh, there's a lot of people talking a good story. You know what they were saying? "Oh, the Lord, surely the Lord liveth." But he said, "I know they're lying. They're speaking falsely. They're not telling the truth about that." I want you to notice that, if you will, that God says in verse number 3 of that same chapter, he said, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth?" Yes, it is. Let me tell you something. If you know the truth will make you free. If you've been washed by the blood and saved by the grace of God and the mercy of God has been dispensed and poured out upon you, let me tell you, without a doubt, make no mistake about it, you're more than just a talker. You're walking the life, talking the life, and you love the truth of God, and nobody's ever going to come by and preach you off the bench with the Bible. In this lesson that we're looking at, you begin to find out, and I begin to notice something is about that, is that here's what had been happening to their preacher. Look in verse 13. Now, they got to where they were chasing each other's wife. You can find that in verse 8. And you'll find out is that you'll find they got to where that, well, in fact, is in verse number 8 when he said they fed the horses in the morning, every one neigheth after his neighbor's wife. In other words, they acted like they were going to neigh, like they was a bunch of over somebody else's wife. What a sad day. What a sad commentary that was on them. Did you notice that also in verse number 13? Here's reason being. The Bible said the prophet shall become wind. Bunch of old windbag preachers got to where they wasn't preaching the Bible. He says, and the word is not in them, and thus shall it be done unto them. I got to tell you right now that when you begin to look into this old chapter here, you can see that history repeats itself and the application to what's going on in the day and hour that we're living in. You know, I remember when I first surrendered to preach, I can remember whenever there's an old preacher, and of course, you know, they let a young preacher preach, and naturally a young preacher feels like that he ought to rear back and just let the hammer down, because the older preacher's not going to be able to do that without getting run off. If they let you preach and you do that, they'll run you off too. And let me say to you that, if you will, here's what he told me. He said, you know, preacher, he said, now, back when I was young like you are, here we go, and back whenever I started out like you're doing, I learned that you can say something one way and people get offended and mad, but you can say something another way and they'll accept it. You can say the same thing. I said, isn't that what's called psychology? See? I got to tell you, God's not interested in making us feel good about ourselves like we are without the need to repent. What God's interested is His Word cutting like a two-edged sword and cutting us loose from ourselves and our sins, that we might be washed by the blood and be born again. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, I'm just looking about verse number 26, same chapter. He calls them foolish people in verse number 21 without any understanding. Said, oh, you've got eyes, but you can't see. You've got ears, but you hear not. But look in verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men that lay wait, as he set his snares, and they set a trap, and they catch me. In other words, they're trying to trip you up and trying to catch you and catch you off guard. And you know what they're looking for, don't you? They're looking for something that they can just everybody get along with and learn to live with. And then verse 29, God asks the question and says, he said, shall I not visit thee for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And then he goes on to tell them what we just read. It's a horrible thing that's been committed in the land. And here's what the horrible thing is. The prophets, they're prophesying falsely. You hear somebody ran back and preaching that ought to be preaching the unadulterated word of the Lord, and they're just preaching falsely. He said the priests bear rule by their own means. They're not following the word of the Lord. They just go ahead and follow it by their own means. And he says, and what's worse than that, and what horrible thing is that my people love to have it so. You see, in the day and hour we're living in, it's pretty much like that. In this day and hour that we're talking about, you're going to find out that there are people that somehow or another, and they want it smooth. That's the reason why over in Isaiah that he said, they said, we don't want you preaching to us right things. Preach smooth things for us. Make it smooth if you possibly can. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, whenever you want something that you can live with, that's going to eliminate sound doctrine. You know why? Jesus said through the Apostle Paul over there to Timothy, the time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine. just not going to put up with it. You know, in the day and hour we're living in, and I mean every now and again, is that I never worry about anybody when they're preaching. If they mess up so bad, you know, that it can't be fixed, then so be it. But most of the time it can be fixed in a diplomatic way and so forth and on, and just simply saying what the word of the Lord said. I said all that to be able to say this. You know, you don't ever get so critical and pharisaical. Some of the best preaching I ever heard was young men that was preaching, and they put Moses on the ark. Noah crossing the Red Sea. I told you about that time over there in Brother Dawson was at a meeting, Galen Dawson. And that passage of scripture where Jesus said that he that gathereth with me is with me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Well, that poor old country boy that was cornbread fed, he read the word scattereth as scratcheth. So he preached a sermon scratching a board. People that didn't believe God were going to be like scratching a board. Oh, he said, can you imagine the splinters that got up under his fingernails? Can you imagine the bleeding? Can you imagine the soreness? Can you imagine the festering? And old Brother Galen said, man, you talk about an old boy got turned loose and preached heaven real and hell hot and splinters in your finger. And he said, I've seen more people weeping at the altar than I ever seen in my life. I want to say to you that if you will, every now and again, just leave it alone. See? In this Bible lesson you're looking at, and by the way, I'm talking about you're going to have wisdom from God to know what to leave alone and what not, but nonetheless, you see what I'm talking about? In this lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find out is that the time will come. The time is now. People will not endure sound doctrine. And I'm not talking about people that are outside these ranks of Baptist ranks. I'm not talking about that. Used to, when I was a kid growing up, you could go to a Southern Baptist church and there was enough preaching in one of them old Southern Baptist preachers, they'd just shell it clean to the cob. You can't hardly find that now. Used to, you could go to any missionary Baptist church, find a pretty solid message from God. And you can't hardly find that now. Way back then, you could go to an independent Baptist church and find an old boy that preached heaven real and hell hot. And let me tell you, the touch of God would be on there and the breath of God moving everywhere. But it's hard to find that now. It's hard to find that now. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I realize, though, that whenever a person opens up the Bible here in this pulpit, I don't care if it's me preaching or anybody else preaching, if they'll stay in the book, you'll stay with them. That's commendable. But I know some places that won't. I know some places that if some man wanted to shout amen, he'd get slapped across the mouth by his wife and grabbed by the ear and drug out that door. I know some of you good gals could do that if you wanted to, but we're glad you don't because you're real. In this lesson you're looking at, you'll find that if you're going to hear something you can live with, it won't be sound doctrine. And the Bible said that people that feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent, is that what they end up doing is they go to church week in, week out, day after day, go to the house of God, down to the sanctuary. And let me tell you, he said that's fine and that may do to live by, but what will you do when the end comes? I remember years ago, my mom and my dad telling me about an old codger. Now, we grew up, and there's a lot of, they called them hard-shell Baptists. I call them hard-head Baptists. That living what is to be will be, what ain't to be won't. If you're born to go to heaven, you're going to heaven. If you're born to go to hell, you're going to hell. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You might as well eat, drink, be merry, smoke, lie, cheat, connive, dip, chew, drink a few. But one of them old preachers that used to lean that direction on his deathbed, they said he looked around at his folks and said, I'm going to tell you something. After all these years, what I've been preaching and what I've been saying and what I've been practicing and doing might do to live by, but it sure ain't going to do to die by. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that he noticed that. Now, whether it was too late for him or not, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, if what you got isn't going to work to keep you faithful to the word of the Lord and the things of God, what makes you think it's going to carry you to heaven? See, in this Bible lesson in Jeremiah, what a preacher that he was. I got to tell you, is that he knew that in that day and in that hour, there are a lot of prophets out there preaching false doctrine, as they are in the day and hour of which you and I live. You know what the whole problem is, don't you? Folks get to where they're pleasure seekers. And I know I like to have a little fun myself every now and again. You already heard me tell about this man here that we plan to do some hunting and plan to do some fishing, not just preaching and stuff like that, you know. And all that business there. I was kidding one time, and somebody said, asked me, what did I do during the week, my routine? I said, well, I got to be honest with you. By the time I hunt and time I fish and time I study, watch TV and study my Bible and get ready for Sunday, my time's about gone. And Phil Kidd laughed and said, I bet it's in that order too. Well, look at him now. Sell me a wig. You see what I'm talking about? I'll tell you, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You can go ahead, and my people, he said, love to have it so. They love to be soothed. They love to hear something that makes them feel good about themselves like they are. But what will you do in the end thereof? When the end comes. It's going to come pretty quick, by the way. I've sat around here, and I thank God for how good God's been to me, and I went over there and seen that neurologist and that day, and I remember telling her that, I can move around good and everything's fine. My speech is all right, and I have very little that's holding me back and so forth and on. But I said, ma'am, if I never get any better, God has been good to me. And tears swelled up in her eyes. A few minutes, she said, I want to come back and what you just said a few minutes ago. I got to tell you something, is that these doctors and these physicians and these people right here, there's some of them, they don't know God from a bat. I've got a nice bank account. We're helping through Medicare, Medicaid, whatever it is, pay somebody's bills. We get every night. We try to turn all that in. This wasn't us and this and that. But, you know, it's probably like that old boy over there in Louisiana. I found 5 Social Security cards stapled together, so I called the Social Security office. He came out there, and I said, reckon you can get them. They're a name, got different names on them. Here they are. And he said, hey, I don't want to get them. This is my job. I get all that corrected. I won't have a job no more. I said, all right, well, there you go. God bless you. Thank you very much. Now I've got my own Social Security card, but I don't have any extras. And I don't know how in the world people get by with all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you, even if I were to be able to, I'll have to stand before the Lord. See? I don't think God cares. Like, for instance, if you see the law and you slow down, you're able to get dodge and keep from getting a ticket. Or even if you break down, go to balling, and you get out of it, I don't think God cares about that one way or the other. I'll tell you what God does care about. And that is for you to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God is interested in that. In closing tonight, I just wanted to say to you that we live in a world that seeks to love pleasure, and they're lovers of pleasure more, the Bible said, than lovers of God. Now, we ought to be able to have a good time in the Lord. We ought to. I mean, I'm not against having a good time. I've been accused of it in days gone by. But you know what ends up happening, don't you? I'm going to say something to you tonight just so that you'll know, and you've probably heard it again if you were paying attention way back when. You know what's wrong with rock and roll music? Well, a lot. All right, you know what's wrong with country music? A lot. But here's what the biggest wrong in either one of them is.
It goes in through your senses without having to rest you through your brain. That's why when you're driving down the road, that all of a sudden you're patting like this and a jigging, and that's why your kids that don't even know how to read and write, they hear a catchy tune, they go to doing their jig, buddy. It's because that we're musical creatures, and that's the reason why, that, buddy, that old Lucifer, that whenever he was thrown out, he was an instrumental person. Now I want you to watch this. Here's what's wrong with it. It gets in your system to where that's all you want to hear, and that's all you want to do. You see what I'm talking about? You just can't turn it on and off like you do the Lord. That's where it's at. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about humanity. See? I said all that to be able to say this, is that I like a little fun every now and again. If you could find somebody in this building that likes to deer hunt or fish more than I do, well, some of you may like to fish more than I do. I just fish waiting on deer season to get here. I love it. I absolutely love it. I don't hunt on a Sunday. You know why? Sure as the world as I went one time. About church time, I'd see the horn or something back there. I can't move now. See that? So why should I make provision for my flesh when I know that'll be the one time, buddy? I prayed to God for all these years and he won't, but the devil will run one out on you. Just as sure as you're sitting here. This is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I can tell you how you can tell whenever your back slid clean to your eyeballs, and we're going to be closing. When you wake up and it's Sunday morning and you're oh, my word, is it Sunday already? Maybe, do I sound like I need to stay home? I don't want to infect anybody. You see what I'm talking about? We're all of a subject to like passion. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you'll find that God began to notice their heart. He began to notice their ears. They weren't listening. He began to notice their eyes. They weren't looking. You get in the picture? I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. And I tell you, it's been quite a trip. It's been worth the trip. I thank God for my wife and these children and grandchildren and your children and all that. And let me tell you right now, it does a whole lot. You know how excited you get whenever you're looking at your children and you just can't believe that God blessed you with them? Now look how grown they are, how talented they've become. You know how that just absolutely just overwhelms you? When I look at every church member and every church kid, it does that same thing for me. You see what I'm talking about? I want to say to you that as we get ready to leave here tonight, is that if you want something to live with, live with God and walk with God and talk with God and let God talk with you through the preaching of the word of the Lord. When we pray, we talk to God. When we preach, God talks to you and I. Not about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Eddie, dismiss us, will you? Please, sir.